see these words again. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse number 6, again, these words. It says, For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Again, in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse number 8, it says, He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. So, fear not. I don't know what you fear, but he'll not leave thee, and he'll not forsake thee. Fear not. A gentleman came to my office, and I closed the doors. He stepped in, and he said, My wife's left me. He began to weep. I put my arms around him. He looked like an empty container that had been turned inside out. The look on his face was a look of one forsaken. A teenager came to my office one Sunday morning just a few months ago. When she stepped in my office, she began to cry and she couldn't even talk. I said, You need to calm down, sit down for a moment, and you can tell me whatever you need to tell me. She said, Brother Owens, my mom and dad moved out of town and left me. What am I going to do? I wish to God I could have climbed into her heart and made her secure, but I couldn't. But he'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. A mother called me on the phone frantic, and she said, My son has run away. She said, Brother Owens, this is a wicked place. He's run away. Is he safe? And that poor mother, you could hear it in her voice. Forsaken. Oh, so forsaken. Wednesday night, my wife and I were walking to my office after the Wednesday evening service. We got about the second floor of the Miller Hall building. I came around the corner and there stood a lady. Her eyes were filled with terror. I could tell when she said my name, she had a heartache. She looked at me and she said, Brother Owens, can you see me? Can you see me? I've seen that look. Many, many times forsaken because her husband had left her all alone. I have a brother. My brother had gotten away from the Lord, saved, but as backslidden as a man could be, to the point where he had gotten into alcohol. I didn't know it, but he'd gotten drunk one night, and he wrapped his pickup truck around a tree. The phone call came to me that they were rushing him from one city to a hospital in Indianapolis, Indiana. I got in my car, and I grabbed one of my sons, and I took off for Indianapolis right away because the word that I received is if I wanted to see my brother again, I would have to hurry. 8 hours of surgery. He was in a room. They had told my father, you've got to be prepared when you go into the room. Make sure you have control of yourself. And it had been 40 minutes and my dad had not gone in the room because he couldn't. I walked by my dad and I walked into the room. My brother was teetering between life and death. He would be conscious for a little while and then unconscious. I walked over to him and I put my hand on him and leaned down and looked right into his eyes. And I said, I'm praying for you. And I love you. And he shook his head up and down. And then I said, you've got to pray for yourself. And he shook his head no. I said, you've got to to pray for yourself. And the same terror I had seen before in eyes, he shook his head no. And then his lips began to move. And he said, "My fault. My fault." And I said, "He will never leave thee. Nor forsake thee. He will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." And he said this. He said, "I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee." He did not say, "Only if you'll love me all the time." He said, "I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee." He didn't say, "If you'll serve me with your life, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee." He said, "I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee." There in that hospital room, I told my brother this. I said, "He never said, 'Only if you tithe like you're supposed to.' No, he said, 'I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee.' He didn't say, 'If you go soul winning every week, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee.' No, he said, 'I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee.' He didn't say, 'If you never cuss, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee.' He said, 'No, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Fear not, I'm with you. I love you. You're mine. You belong to me. Whatever you do, remember one thing. I love you. I love you.' He didn't say, 'If you never lust, he'll love you.' No, he said, 'I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee.' He did not say, 'If you never steal, then he'll never leave thee nor forsake thee.' No, he said, 'I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee.' He didn't say, 'If you never leave me or forsake me, I'll never leave you or forsake you.' No, no, 'I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee.' You can't get away from the love of God. You can't. Listen to this scripture. I love it. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, 'For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter.' Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. Fear not. Fear not. You don't understand. That those verses said, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The way to survive any heartache is to know how much God loves you. You can make it through anything if you would just stop and look up and realize the God of the universe isn't holding it against you. He loves you. He loves you. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, charity never faileth. You don't have to fail because you have a God that loves you. You may turn away from God. And you may think, you may turn away from face-to-face fellowship with God, but you can't get away from his love. He'll follow you. Let me show you. Brother Scott, I want you to, I'm going to be man and you're going to be God. We're going to switch roles this time. And I want you to come with me for a second. I have fellowship with God, and it seems to be going well, but I turn away from God, and I think I'm leaving him. I think I'm leaving God behind. Matter of fact, I'm thinking about running from God. Thank you. And you thought you were away from God. I am sorry. I am very, very sorry. Someone said, if you get away from God, run back to Him. I'm sorry, there's no space to run. Just look. Just look. He was there all the time. You didn't get away from Him. You might have ran and you might have covered your eyes, but He was there. And while you couldn't see Him, He could see you. You see, God doesn't stay with us because of our perfection. He stays with us because of His perfection. Let me say this. Number one, God doesn't stay with us because of our perfection. No. Can't we thank Him? He doesn't stay with us because of us, but because of Him. My brother thought because he had sinned, God had left him. No, no. God's bigger than that. Your sin gives you the opportunity to see the depth of God's love. Listen, someone said God needed sin to prove His love to man. I don't know. I think if anybody needed sin, it was man, so that he could wake up and realize the love that God had always had for man. I'm not glad any of us sin, but I'll tell you what, if you do, I got good news for you. You have a perfect opportunity to find out how deep God loves you. My brother's sin was no surprise to God. Folks, if you think you're hiding your sin from God, He already knows. And guess what? He already loves you. He's already decided how He feels about you. Yes, God hates sin, but God loves you. And He's not going to let His hatred for sin keep His love from flowing to you. He cherishes you. You are precious to Him. He will not let your sin stop you from loving Him. God loves you even if you won't repent. If you have rebellion in your heart right this second and you can't wait to get out of here, guess what? You're taking a passenger. He's going with you. If you go to the depths of hell and sin, He's going with you. You can't shake Him. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loves you when you can't even seem to love yourself. Some of you hate yourselves. What right do you have? If anybody has the right to hate you for sin, it's the holy God of the universe. You don't have that right. You are a creation of God and His property, and you have no right to hate yourself. I mean, if anybody has that right, it is Him, and He chooses not to be like God. God's love for you was decided before you drew your first breath. And God's love for you was not decided upon who you are, but upon whose you are. You are God. Even when you've forgotten who you belong to. God doesn't stay with us because of our perfection. Number two, God stays with us because of His perfection. Hey, stop expecting God to be like you and let God be God. Stop figuring the only way God knows how to love is at the human level. He doesn't know about the human level of love. He's got a higher love, a deeper love, a magnificent love. And the words of the book cannot even contain the love of God. Here's how we are. You say, well, you love me, then I'll love you. But then there are some of us that are even a little more mature than that. I'll love you, then you'll love me. God says, I'll love you even if you don't love me. You say, I have a hard time understanding that. You're not supposed to understand it. You're supposed to accept it. If you're trying to understand the love of God, you've got a real long journey ahead of you.
through all eternity. It'll be like a cave, and it will go for mile after mile after mile. And after 10 million years has passed, as we examine the beautifulness of God's love, God will say, that's the introduction. That's the introduction of how much I love you. You love me, I love you. Or, I love you, then you love me. But God says, I'll love you even if you don't love me. Better yet, God says, I'll love you knowing you won't love me. Knowing He knew you wouldn't love Him. He already knew it, folks. Ask anybody if they feel like they really love God. They're trying. I'm trying. Matter of fact, the quality of your love for Him compared to the love that He has for you makes it seem like your love doesn't even exist. But He loves you. God stays with us because of His perfection. God's perfect. He's perfectly holy. God has a perfect love for you. God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Fear not. God has a perfect record of keeping His promises. He's never broken the promise. He said, I'll never leave thee, never forsake thee. Fear not. He's with you. God's love for me is not based on my love for Him, but based on His love for me. It's based on Him. And He is perfect. And He is perfect love. And He can't help it. He can't change it. Matter of fact, He doesn't want to help it. He likes it. It's what He is. He stays with me always, and that's based on His perfection. God's not petty with His love. We're petty. But God's not petty with His love. His love is not fueled by reciprocation. He doesn't have to know He's going to get it back to give it. His love need not be primed like the carburetor of an automobile. You see, God can love without any help. God doesn't need anybody to help Him love. He loves. So He does not stay with me because of my perfection. He stays with me because of His perfection. Then number three, the only people who think God has forgotten them are the ones who have forgotten God. The only people who think God has forgotten them are the ones who have forgotten God. I built my daughter. My daughter and my wife are here today. You won't have a hard time picking them out. The most beautiful two women in the whole building. I was building my daughter a bedroom. I took the whole attic of our house and we turned it into what my wife calls the doll house. And it was just rafters. There's a little hole that we climbed into to get up into it. And I was going to build her a great big bedroom up there, put all the little frilly things and all the sweet things that little girls like. And the first time I climbed up there, I had to use a ladder. I took a flashlight with me. I climbed up in there. It was pitch dark, and I sat down on the ledge, my feet dangling out the ceiling beneath. I took the flashlight, and I was looking everywhere. I was told that there was an outlet up there that I could plug some power into, and I looked and I looked and I looked, and finally I asked my wife to get me a drop cord and a light so that I could get up in there, and I was sitting there, and I struggled and struggled, and they started handing me up tools, and I couldn't find this outlet anywhere. I couldn't find it anywhere. I worked and worked just sitting there, getting some things ready, and after I was a little discouraged and a little disgusted because I couldn't find the outlet, I started to climb down, turned around, and it was right behind me. You know, I wonder how many of you have been convinced by the devil you're powerless and that God has left you. You've been lied to. You've been lied to. Somebody lied to you. He's been there all the time. Just plug in. He's there. He's right behind you. Turn around. Look at Him. He's there. When you turn your back on God, He has His eye on you, but you don't see that He sees you. But He does. Fear not. I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. We forget that God doesn't forget us. Where are you at today? You say, I feel so forsaken. Sorry, you're not. You're not forsaken. He's with you. When you keep your eyes on him, you don't lose track that he's watching you. But we get our eyes off of him a little bit, we think that he did the same. That's not God. That's not how God does it. God will never leave you nor forsake you. He never leaves. But many times we bear pain thinking he left. That's unnecessary pain. And the devil uses it against you. And he tries to convince you that God is not right with you. But he is. The devil's a liar. When we feel distant from God, it's not his fault. It's always ours. He's always right there. I promise you. How far do you feel from God right now? That is in your mind. It is not reality. He is ready. He is willing. He is right there. It's just up to you to look and say, I want you. He said, you got me. I spend my time telling everyone, he's here. He's here. I go visiting. I say, guess what? God's here. Everywhere I go, I just go around telling everybody. It's real. I mean, he's here. He loves us. He's the God that he said he was in the book, and the book's pure, and our God's pure. And he said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. You know, that's what everybody needs anyway. Somebody that'll remind them. He really does love you, you know. Or we get caught up in this life and get caught up in this world. Let me tell you, he really does love you. I mean, he really does. It's not a joke. It's not a game. It's real. It's not like television. This is real stuff. More real than your mind can fathom. Too many of us are not looking at the God that's with us. We're looking for a distant God who you thought left you. He's not where he thought. He's where he is. He is closer than you can imagine. Matter of fact, he's so close, some of you can't see. I don't think you'll ever really see how close he is, because that's the depth of his love. And you get it mixed up with distance. Oh, I'm sorry. He's in you.
What?
You understand what you're looking at? In me. The Holy Spirit of the God of the universe. I can't even see him because he's so deep in me. That's how much God loves you. Someone said God's only a prayer away. Closer than that. Closer than that. I studied the word forsake. Looked it up every time it's used in the Bible. In Hebrews 13:5, it means salvation. It goes back to regeneration, the roots of the origin of God. Do you know what it means? When you got saved, God became a part of you. For God to forsake you is for God to forsake himself. He can't. He can't. He can't forsake you. To forsake you is to forsake himself. And everywhere God goes, he's already there. That's how deep his love is for you. Now, some of you fat people already know kind of like what it's like to be in two places at one time, but I'm talking about he's everywhere. My wife and I, we had just gotten married. And I was waxing my dad's car for him, anything to get money out of my dad. I was waxing my dad's car for me, and it was in the garage. And we were at her mother's house. And the car was in the garage, and then I pulled my car in behind it, and then she pulled her car in behind my car. So here we have three cars. Every car that known to man is there, at least every car that I could possibly get, is all in this little row of cars. No way to move any of them except for the back car, my wife's car. I told her, I said, well, we're going to pull out and we got to get out of here. I said, I'm done. So she came out, pulled the door behind her, locked the house, and came out. I said, well, move your car. Honey, that's what she said to me when she's in trouble. Honey, honey. I'm not sure where the keys are. I said, what you're saying is you're sure the keys are not with you, right? Right. Now, my dad's waiting for his car. My car's stuck. My wife's car's locked. So we went across the street, and I tried to explain to this man that I needed a car because I had to drive to a distant city to borrow the key from her mother to get back into her house so that I could unlock the car, so that I could unlock the car, so I could get the car out to take it home to my dad. Hey, you got to go on vacation with us. We drove all the way to the distant city, and I explained to her mom about the car, the key, the house, the car, and et cetera. But now I've got four cars because I borrowed the neighbor's car. I didn't let her have the keys to that one. We came all the way back. I took the car back to the neighbor, gave him his keys. We were walking across the street. I had her mother's house key so we could get in. We walked over. I was getting ready to unlock the house so that we could go in, and my wife, I heard something. And then I seen her put her hand in her pocket real quick and pull her hands out. She said, honey. The keys were there all the time. Do you understand? What do you need? The keys are in your pocket. See, I think I lost him. No, you may think you lose him, but he ain't ever lost one. My wife will probably kill me for this, but listen carefully. I've just got a couple of minutes. My wife wrote me a love song, and we just got back. We spent a week in Hawaii, and she sings this song to me. It's a very private song. It's and I'm going to share it with you. Something she wrote for me. She did the music, the words, and she's a very, very talented lady. And when I think of this love that we talk about in this song, and I'm going to try to sing it to you now. Don't think that she wrote it the way I'm singing it. That's not the case. It goes like this. It's called "All I'll Ever Need Is You." At times, I wonder where I'd be if you weren't here with me, guiding each step I take. At times, I wonder what I'd do if it weren't for you, loving me like you do. All I've ever wanted is to hold you forever. All I've ever needed is to never let go. All I've ever dreamed of is us being together. All I'll ever need is you. At times, I think about our love, given by God above. How hot my heart loves you so. At times I think about the day I heard you say, will you be mine alone? All I've ever wanted is to hold you forever. All I've ever needed is to never let go. All I've ever dreamed of is us being together. All I'll ever need is you. All God wants is to hold me forever. All God wants is to never let go. God's dream is us. Be together. Isn't that what you're looking for? It doesn't get any better than that. we love you. We love you, students. We love you, and you know why? We love you no matter what. And God loves you.